You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way, let.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
We are overjoyed by our guest today and our conversation today. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
I am so happy you're here, and it's so wonderful to hear your voice. Please introduce yourself to our friends.
My name is Dwayne Brayboy. I am Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, and I'm Bear Clan.
We're so happy you're here, but most of all, we're happy that you're well and safe. Can you tell us what's been happening in your world?
Well, I stay in Western North Carolina, and Hurricane Helene came through and left a path of destruction, and areas of Western North Carolina, like Asheville, all the surrounding little towns, Cherokee, are just devastated by the destruction there, the flooding. The last number I heard was 160 some confirmed deaths at this point. They're saying billions of dollars in damages, and that some towns like Chimney Rock, North Carolina, just seem to have just been washed away completely. I am fortunately, we were right at the edge of that. You know, we had intermittent power. We didn't have internet or Wi-Fi for a few days. Stores in town were closed because there was no power. Those that did have power, they only accepted cash or check because there was no internet to run credit cards or debit cards or anything, you know. So I consider us very lucky that, you know, we don't have it anywhere nearly as bad as the people just further west of us, even as close as Morganton. They don't have clean water because their water facility is underwater right now.
Well, we all certainly send our prayers, and if there are ways that you can help our friends that listen, we ask you to help. Help us. Help us. And I think one of the bravest and most courageous things we could do at a time like this is to tell stories. You know, times like this are actually cultural events as well as disasters that are natural and environmental. They're also cultural disasters as well. If we lose people who know languages, if we lose people who know stories, if we lose people that we love and care about, or even if it changes the region in some way, we can lose our stories, and we don't want that. And so today, I think the most resilient thing that we can do is tell stories. It's storytelling season, and I want us to tell some beautiful stories. And so what I'd like to do today is just give you the mic, and you can share some stories with us. And I want our friends who are listening to really take these stories in, take them into your heart and your spirit, because these stories are the bedrock of who we are and how we think and how we see the world and how we teach lessons. How do you learn? You learn through stories. You learn through traditional tribal stories, and then you learn through personal narrative stories. So these stories are precious to us, and I want to preserve them today. So let me give you the mic and let you share stories.
Well, thank you. First, I was thinking that maybe talk about storytelling and our culture first, and lay the groundwork for the listeners. And that is, when you reference that it's storytelling season, to those who may not be native who are listening, we consider, you know, the cooler months to be storytelling season. And the reason for that being that in old days, you know, during the warm months, there was so much work to be done that if you were, you know, seen to be sitting around and just telling stories when there's, you know, work to be done, you know, like the gardens to tend and taking care of the corn and all these other things that we do, then, you know, there's two beliefs that I've heard passed down in my family. One is that if you tell stories out of season, it'll make you lazy for the rest of your life. And the the other is that if you tell stories out of season, snakes will lie in wait for you along the path, and they'll get you whenever you walk down the path. So those are my two stories that we have about why we shouldn't tell stories out of season. And then I was thinking this morning about why stories. You know, why are stories so important to our culture? And I believe it preserves culture.
Yes,
storytelling is a way to pass down cultural traditions, history, beliefs from one generation to the next. And it's part of our oral tradition that connects the past, present, and future. Knowing that I am telling stories that, you know, my great-grandmother told, and my great-great-great-grandfather told, and such, you know. There's that sense of continuity. It really is something that I feel connects me to them.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much for introducing the stories in this good way. I think stories are almost like DNA, in that they are in the fiber of our being, our spiritual being. And you're right, they connect us. You know, someday my children will tell their children stories that I told them that were told to me by my great uncle and my grandparents. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It very much is. And so, you know, something else is that it made me think about what you were just saying, is that it teaches us. Storytelling is one way that, you know, Tuscaroras, and I'd always like to reference my people specifically, because I don't want to speak out of turn with other Native peoples, but, you know, we have always instilled our cultural values, our worldviews. It's woven in our stories and in our language. And so storytelling is a traditional method of teaching children and reminding adults in the communities. You know, it can teach moral lessons, creation stories, cultural beliefs. And, you know, storytelling also brings the community together, strengthens the community with, you know, between families and even various tribes that share the same stories. You know, it seems like stories tend to be regional rather than, like, linguistic. You know, there's, like, several stories I know of that we have, you know, that other people, like, say, the Algonquian speakers, that they have as well. Usually with a little bit of variances, you know, but the same story. So these are things that bind us to not only our communities, but our neighbors. And they honor the ancestors You know, whenever we do this, you know, it's really, I think, storytelling is great.
I also think that it's a wonderful thing for our children, young children, to hear these stories young, you know, to grow up with these stories, to have all the, yes, there's cartoons and there's a lot of streaming stuff and all of that, but to have these stories as part of their core memories and bedrock, don't you?
Absolutely. And you have to, I think it's so important what you just said, because I think that children have to know these things or be informed about them from an early age. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not, then they're going to be like leaves in the wind, you know, and then hear the story sometimes later when they're adults. You know, that's why I think it's so important to teach children these stories when they're young. I mean, you know, I would, you know, rather our children know about, you know, our worldview from our stories rather than, say, I don't know, Rumpelstiltskin or something like that.
Exactly. No, that's absolutely right. And so I invite our friends who listen, go and get your children. Gather them, your grandchildren, your children, and let's tell some stories. And invite the children in your life, the young people in your life, all ages. Everyone's welcome to hear these stories. But if you have children, please, let them hear these stories. Let them know these stories. And so, let's tell some stories.
Okay. So, I thought that maybe I would start with a story that I wrote recently about, it's more like an adaptation, it's a traditional story, but it seemed to me that the way that it got passed down was very stripped down. I feel like this tree had lost some leaves and branches over the generations, so I fleshed it out a little bit more. and you know, the roots are still there, and everything, but I just gave this one a few more branches.
Wonderful.
But this is the story about how Bear lost his tail. Yeah. And I'm going to tell the story in English. And so, okay, so, long ago, Bear used to have a beautiful long tail. He was proud of his beautiful tail, and when the other animals were around, they were jealous. Especially Fox, because Fox's tail was almost as beautiful as Bear's. One day, Fox watched Bear try to catch a fish in the lake. Bear strived to catch a fish, but could not, and he was so hungry. So Fox had this dark plan and said to Bear, "Listen to me. I am your friend. You should use your tail to lure the fish to you." So Bear watched Fox, and Fox used his tail to lure the fish to him. And then when the fish got close enough, Fox would use his tail to scoop them out of the water and sling them onto the ground where he could get them. So Bear thought this would work. So he stepped backwards in the direction of the lake, and he put his tail in the water, his big, long, fluffy, beautiful tail. And Bear wiggled his tail around in the water, but he saw no fish. And Fox said, "Sometimes it takes a while. You're going to have to wait." So then, Bear waited so long that he fell asleep with his lake in the tail. With his tail in the lake. And in the night, the water froze. So then, when Bear stood up in the morning, he heard a loud noise, and then his tail broke off. And Bear hollered, and Fox laughed hysterically. Finally, Fox caused Bear to lose his precious tail, and now Fox has the most beautiful tail of all the animal people. And Bear studied his tail in the lake, and it made him sad to know that he would never again have a beautiful tail. So as a reminder to everyone to be humble and to know who is really your friend, whenever you see the bear, his tail will always be short if you can see it at all.
Oh, that's a great story. Oh, thank you for telling that. And what does that story mean to you as a person that is Bear Clan?
Well, it means to me that, well, I thought that it was really important to give examples to the children about being aware of people who give you advice from the outside that you know, may not have your best interest at heart or their best interest at heart, you know, and so be cautious, you know, trust but verify.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's, you know, what it says to me. And then there's the humility part, you know, like Bear is so proud and just flaunted his tail every time that he was around the other animal. There. But when the other animal people came around, Bear was very proud of his tail and would show it off and let all the other animal people know that he had the most beautiful tail in the forest.
Mm-hmm. You know, humility comes before honor. So what does humility mean to us as tribal people?
Oh, humility is, I think, so important.
Yes.
It is a sacred teaching, humility, and, you know, being modest, that sort of humbleness, because, you know, nobody likes a braggart, and so there is, I think when people are strong enough, to me, humility shows strength.
Absolutely.
Yes, because when somebody is so strong in who they are, so assured of who they are and safe in who they are as a person, they can afford to be modest and humble because they don't need to show off or brag. You know, I've always been observant of people. I've been a people observer my whole life, and even from the age of being a child. You know, I've always thought that people who brag are people with low self-opinions. And they're trying to compensate. And as I grew older, it kind of proved that to be true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well said. Well said. There's lessons in that for adults and grown-ups, too. Absolutely. We wonder if you have another story that you could share with us.
I do.
Oh, good.
I do. Another story that I have written recently is about how the wolf turned red. Yeah. So, you know, back in the old days, you know, the wolves were all gray like their coyote cousins. And I'm not going to get into the story completely just yet, but just preface it with the title. And this is the story about the day the wolf turned red. And so the red wolves, as you know, they're severely endangered. And the last surviving red wolves in the world are here in North Carolina. And they're in Tuscarora Territory. And we were contacted by the Center for Biological Diversity for the purpose of, they asked if I would give the surviving red wolves names. And so I gave these red wolves honorable names, names that I felt would, you know, maybe it would draw the ancestors to those red wolves and help protect them and somehow enable them to endure mm-hmm. and thrive again. So, mm-hmm. but this is a story about how the first wolf turned red because they used to be gray. Oh. And then this wolf was the first to turn red.
Mm-hmm.
So, long ago, the red wolf was colored gray like their distant cousins, the coyotes. Their colors blended with the forest, and this made it easy for them to be able to hide in the wild. This made them proficient hunters because they were the same colors as the forest. The wolves easily hid from the rabbits, the birds, deer, and other delicious foods. But when the wolf is hungry, he is a clever animal, and none of the animal people are able to outsmart him. Now, one hot North Carolina day, a molting wild turkey was eating muscadines at the edge of the forest. Like the Tuscarora, the wolves think the turkey is delicious food. Because it was so hot, and turkey had lost so many feathers, wolf crept up closer because he was hungry, and turkey looked very plump, but pitiful without her feathers for her to fly away. So, wolf jumped from behind the bush and told her, "You've no feathers for you to fly away, and now I'm going to eat you." And turkey was scared because she did not have enough feathers to fly away. She knew this. But she stood still and thought. After thinking for a moment, turkey said, "It is true that I can't fly without my feathers, and surely you will eat me. But before you do, you should give me one last wish." Wolf said, "Well, you didn't run away, so what is your wish?" Turkey replied, "Sing to me. I have heard that your voice is the most beautiful among the animal people, and I would love to hear it." "Oh," Wolf replied, and his eyes fluttered. "They have said this about me, and finally you will hear my beautiful voice." So Wolf closed his eyes, lifted his head to the sky, and began to sing a beautiful song that echoed throughout the forest and could be heard very far. As Wolf sang, he did not notice that Turkey used her sharp talons to climb the tall pine tree she was standing beside. Laughing as she climbed higher and higher, she did what nobody had ever done before. She tricked the wolf. In an instant, Wolf realized that he was a fool for singing so that his supper could get away. This made him so mad his gall was bursting. He was on fire, he was so mad. First his eyes turned red, then his head burst into flames, then his body was on fire for a moment. And when the fire went out, the wolf had become red all over, except for the tip of his tail. It had burnt and became black. So, as a reminder to all to not be vain, when you hear the turkey gobble, it is said that they are still laughing at the red wolf.
Wow, what a great story. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, what a good story. You know, I think we don't know, a lot of us understand that for tribal people, unity is our strength. And so vanity,
yes.
Pride, selfishness, greed, those can damage a family, damage a tribe. And so these stories
absolutely.
Are constantly reminding us of that. That's a good story. That's a really good one.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful. Do you have another? I hope so.
I do.
Yay.
I do. Yes. This is one that I am working on presently, and I expect that I am going to flesh this one out a little bit more, but this is the story of what some people call Indian summer. Now, Tuscaroras, we call this lateness warmth, you know, because of this phenomena that occurs. You know, and maybe for those, just briefly, for those around the world who may not be here on Turtle Island and have ever experienced what they call an Indian summer, it is a period of unusual, a short period of warmth in the cold months. Typically, you know, after harvest, when the world starts cooling down and there's no more crops until spring, you know, there comes this period of sometimes of this of warmth that the immigrants called the English and such, you know, they called it Indian summer. Because it was something that we had lived with since time immemorial here on Turtle Island, but people, say, from England, they really didn't have the same experience, you know? And so because we're Indian, we didn't call it Indian summer. Tuscaroras, you know, we called it, we called it lateness warmth. And so this is the story of the origin of lateness warmth or Indian summer. So he is Hopeful was his name. And he was a healthy young man. He always liked to have good times. Sometimes with his friends, and other times he would go fishing or traveling, but he always liked to have a good time. And so, he had such a good time that he just did not plant his corn in March when everybody else was planting their corn, you know? And in the month of March, Tuscaroras, we call it Ganeharikya, meaning this is the time when you plant your corn. So there's everybody else working, and he's off having a good time. So during the month of June, the corn had become ripe, but he had no corn to harvest because he was out having a good time, but everybody else's corn was ripe. And so he didn't help watch over the community cornfields. He didn't plant his own corn. You know, he was just busy fishing and having a good time, you know? So when others were busy harvesting their corn, he thought of other ways to be busy. As in having a good time. And so, finally, after the first harvest, he thought, I'm not going to have any corn. So, he planted his corn then, in late June, for the second harvest. And then, when that crop was ripe, in the fall, he didn't harvest it. He was still so busy having fun and having a good time that he didn't even harvest his own crop of corn. And so finally the cold weather arrived in North Carolina, and after a killing frost, he wanted some corn soup and he wanted some cornbread, ganahuche is what we call it. suddenly he noticed that he had no corn, and he longed for his corn. And as he ate these scraps of food that he had left, he could only think of the Tuscarora cornbread, the corn soup, mush, and many other of the delicious corn foods. By this time, the corn stalks had fallen on the ground, and the animal people ate most of it, and what remained rotted on the ground. It was at this time he realized he would surely starve in the winter if he had no corn to sustain him. So, when he sat in his field of ruined corn in despair, he prayed to Creator and all the ancestors to help him. Creator heard his prayers in Skyland, and he visited him in his field. Creator told him that he would be granted a short season, but just long enough for him to plant a new crop of corn and harvest it. Creator warned him of the dangers of laziness. Creator also told him that the warm weather would not last, that as soon as his corn grew to green corn, the corn would be harvested, and then the cold would return. So then, he began clearing his field, and he quickly planted new corn. The corn sprouted quickly from the earth, and at this time, he worked diligently. He knew that he was going to starve if he did not work diligently. So as soon as he gathered his corn, the special season ended, and then the cold quickly returned to the land. And he survived that winter, and he used his corn stores. After that, he never refused his responsibilities. So as a reminder to all to be disciplined and responsible, when the Indian summer or lateness warmth occurs, remember how he nearly starved.
Wow. What a great story and a great lesson, a great life lesson. Oh,
I think so.
Thank you so much. Yes. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with us. As we go to break now, I hope when we come back, you'll have more stories for us, maybe even the evergreen tree one.
Yes.
Yes, so we'll go to break and you yes. see the power of these stories. I'm already excited to come back and hear much more. We'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presence, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
We are strong and we'll get through this together, but these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope, furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
What a marvelous story season we're having today, and it's all because of our much beloved guest. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Dwayne Brayboy. I am Tuscarora from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, and I am Bear Clan.
And you're wonderful and well-loved by all of us. I'm so thankful.
And so are you.
Aww,
I'm so grateful to be here. Aww. Yes, it's always a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what a joy. I hope you have more stories for us. If you do, we'd love to hear them.
I do have the evergreen tree.
Oh, marvelous.
Yes. Yes. So, this is the story of the evergreen tree. And when the Creator made the earth, all kinds of trees were planted. The maple, birch, oak, hickory, apple, pear, and nut trees, and so on. The Creator had to tend to other realms, so He asked the trees to watch over the earth. And all the trees promised that they would watch over the land. The trees waited and waited for Creator's return. They waited many days, and they waited many nights. The trees began to get tired, and they started to fall asleep. They forgot the promise that they had given to Creator. Only the evergreen trees remained awake, keeping watch over the earth. When the Creator returned, only the evergreen trees were still awake. So as a reminder to everyone to keep their word, during every fall and winter, all trees lose their leaves, except the evergreen trees.
Wow! What a beautiful story. And what way did the storytellers hope that tribal members would learn from that story?
I think that it is so important to keep one's word. Mm-hmm. That is something that is very important to me. It's the way I was raised in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the type of person that if I cannot 100% meet an obligation,
mm-hmm.
I will not commit to it.
Right.
I will, mm-hmm. you know, let people know I'm sorry, I cannot tell you that I can do this at that time because I've got other things happening or going on or, you know, whatever the reason may be. But if I give somebody my word,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like I feel like I have earned this reputation that if I tell somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, a chipmunk can haul a truck up a mountain, then you better strap something onto that chipmunk because that chipmunk's going to do it. You know? You might not know how, but I do. So I just think that it's very important and so important for us as a people, not just me personally, but for all people to keep their word. If somebody says that they're going to do something, then they have to do it. If they don't, mm-hmm. you know, it just losing faith, you know,
mm-hmm.
is in someone or something is really such a sad affair. Mm-hmm. And I really have always just lamented that feeling.
Yeah.
If there's ever been somebody in my circles or something that doesn't keep their word, mm-hmm. you know, if they say they will do things and then they don't follow through, or when it's mm-hmm. time to do things, they're not present, mm-hmm. you know, and I know how bad that feels.
Yes.
The disappointment and such. And so that's one reason why I never want other people to feel about me the way right. that I have felt about people who have let me down. So that, I think, is a very important lesson for everybody mm-hmm. to take to heart.
Your integrity is legendary. You know, everyone who knows you knows that you are a person of integrity, that your word is true and faithful. And I myself, I can absolutely confirm that when you tell us the chipmunk is coming, you better look. You know, and I'm thinking that there are so many people in tribal culture that is important to us, right? I mean, if you're in a tribe, you must keep your word. You must be a person of integrity. Otherwise, the rest of the tribe won't make it. Right. If someone tells you,
right.
oh, yes, I've harvested all the corn and I've stored it away for the next winter, and we believe you, that has to be true. It has to.
Yes.
Or people will be lost.
Yeah.
You know, everyone in
yes.
the tribe is dependent and interdependent on everyone else. And so I have to be able to trust you. You have to be able to trust me. And your word is absolutely rock solid. And so this story is a powerful reminder of the kind of integrity and the kind of warrior that you are. And I thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, well, I definitely appreciate your kind words. I really, it means a lot. It means a lot. I do appreciate that. And you are the same way. I think that's one reason why I've just always clung to you the way that I do mm-hmm. is because you are a native of impeccable word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's never been a time that you have told me, yes, I can do this. Yes, we'll do that. You know, mm-hmm. and you've just never let me down.
Mm. Thank you for that.
You know, well, and I think that,
mm-hmm.
I think that's something that everybody needs is they need people in their lives who won't let them down.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I acknowledge the value in that. And I think that, again, that's why I have always been so close to you, because you are one of those people.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
are you?
And I love you for that.
I love you. We love you. I love you dearly, and it is because you are, again, such a person of honor. And, you know, we asked for families to have their children listen to these stories because I believe that this seventh generation, they're going to be people of honor. You are a person of
yes.
honor, and I love you. We love you with all our hearts, and we can trust you. And it's a better compliment to be trusted than to be loved, even, right?
Yes.
I can put my life in your hands and know it's all right. And that's what I want for our young people, to be the kind of solid, honorable people of integrity. And these stories help them to be that way. Those stories help them to learn good ways that they can walk, have a good mind. And so these stories are important, not just as entertainment, not even just as cultural preservation, but real lessons, real teachings that we want our young people to have. I
agree.
I absolutely thank you for these stories from the bottom of my heart. And it is only right, you know, one time a reporter asked me, I think when my first book came out, what was the biggest difference in communication between tribal people and non-native? And I said, I think it might be that when you ask non-natives a question, they give you an answer. How are you today? Fine. You know? And when you ask tribal people a question, we tell you a story.
Yes. Yes.
And so
I agree.
Personal narratives are really important to us, too. Those are important. You know, what was it like when you went to the river? What were ceremonies like the first time you went? Those are stories we can all tell one another in addition to our traditional tribal stories that are so important and precious as well. You know, we can tell our stories. You know, when I got my first set of shells as a shell shaker, I remember that. And so we can start telling our own stories in addition to the stories that we've been given tribally. But a big part of storytelling season is that we trade stories and we share stories. So you've been kind enough to tell us stories, and so I would like to tell you one, if that's all right.
I was just going to get to that. I was just going to say, I think it's time to hear a story from you now. Okay, I'm all ears. You have my attention.
Well, I was inspired by your stories, which remind us to be humility, that humility comes before honor, and to walk in a respectful way and with a good mind. I mean, what you've taught us is so precious, and I thank you for it. And so I'm going to tell you a Muskogee story that reminds us of how we should walk and how we should treat other people with kindness and generosity. This is the way that the elders told it to me. Once there was a woman. She was a very great woman. She had lots and lots of land, and that land was nourished by rivers and creeks. The water, not the people. And all of the things that she grew in her land came up. Anytime she planted a seed, it grew into a tall stalk of corn. There were trees on her land that gave fruit. There were vines that gave fruit. There were medicine herbs. Her land was wealthy. It was a prosperous land. "Look at my land," she said. "Look at this land. This land is beautiful, and it's all mine. It grows fruit, and it grows corn, and the river runs through it. And it's all mine. It's all mine." Every day, she would take from the corn and grind that corn into cornmeal. And she would bake bread. And because she had so much corn and so much cornmeal, she would bake a lot of bread every day. Not just one loaf of bread for herself, but lots and lots and lots and lots of loaves of bread. And then she would sit down throughout the day with honey from the honeycombs in her trees and jam and jelly from the fruit from her trees. And she would eat all of the bread all by herself all day long. "I have all of this delicious bread," she said. "I enjoy this bread so much, and I have jam and jelly and softy, and I have honey, and I will make more bread tomorrow and eat it all myself." Every day, she arose, ground corn into meal, made bread, and ate it with honey and jam and jelly. Loaf after loaf after loaf after loaf. Until one day, a strange thing happened. "Who is that?" she said. "No one bothers me on my land." "Who is that? Don't they know I'm eating my loaves of bread and my honey?" "Oh my." The woman got up and went to the door, and when she opened it, she frowned very deeply. There was an old man at the door. He didn't smell very good, and he was wearing ragged clothes. His feet were bare and dirty, and he was tired. "What do you want? You're interrupting. during my eating. I would like to have something to eat, said the old man. I have walked a very long way for a very long time, and I'm very hungry. I don't care, said the old woman. I have plenty of loaves to eat, and I'm going to eat them all myself. Get out of here. And she slammed the door. Well, she ate all of the loaves of bread and all of the jam and the jelly and the honey, and she was happy. The next morning, she got up and she ground corn into meal and made fruit into jam and took honey from the honeycomb, and she ate and ate and ate and ate until... Who is that bothering me, interrupting my eating? She opened the door, and there was the old man. He was tired and ragged and dirty, and he didn't smell very good. What do you want? She said. I would like something to eat, please, he said. I have walked a very long way, and I'm very far from home. Will you please give me something to eat? No, said the old woman, and slammed the door. And then she ate loaf after loaf after loaf after loaf of bread. I will do it again tomorrow, she said. I will eat more bread, and I will eat more honey, and I will eat it all by myself. Well, the next morning she arose, and she ground the corn into meal, and she took honey from the honeycomb, and she baked loaves of bread. And her whole kitchen smelled wonderful. Oh, I have so many loaves of bread. I will enjoy my bread today, she said. Oh, my goodness, is that old man? Is he back? How dare he? And then she opened the door. Please give me something to eat, said the old man. Please give me something to eat. I can smell the bread. I can see that you have fruit on your trees. There's plenty of water in the river and creek. Please share your food with me. The old woman was so angry, she didn't even say anything this time. She pushed the old man, and he fell down. And she slammed the door. That will fix him, she said. He won't be back. I can eat all of my bread and honey and drink my water in peace. And she did. But on the fourth day, four being our sacred number, there was a knock at the door. She hadn't even made her bread. She hadn't taken honey from the honeycomb. She hadn't gathered water from the creek or the river. And she opened the door. A very handsome man stood at the door. Tall and strong and young. And it was almost as if he was lit up from the inside, glowing. Said the woman. Who are you? I am Breath Giver, the Lord, the giver of life. Said the man. I am God. I am the Creator. I have come every day because I am the one who gave you the fruit on your trees and the corn in your garden and the land which gives so much bounty and good food. I am the one who gave you the clean water that you drink. I am the one who helps you to gather these things, who gives you the honey from the honeycomb. I am the one who gives you your breath, your life, your strength. And yet, when I came to you, dressed in rags like an old man, you were greedy and unkind. You were not thankful or grateful. You were stingy, and you would not share with others, even though you had more than enough for yourself. And so, from this day on, you will beg for your food. You will spend your days knocking on wood, hoping to find something in that wood that you can eat. At that moment, the woman turned into a woodpecker. And as a woodpecker spends her days knocking on wood, hoping for something to eat. This story is called Greedy. Greedy in our language. And the old people told it to me and to other children to remind us that we should be generous, that we should be kind, that we should be hospitable and helpful, and that we should always be grateful and thankful for what we have, because it is a gift from the Creator. I'm telling you that story as I remember it being told to me, and I hope you'll remember to be generous and kind. I hope that you will also be thankful and grateful.
Oh, that is a wonderful story. That is a great story, and you tell it so well. That is fantastic. I am so glad that I heard this today. And what a great message. It really is. It really is. That's the sort of lesson that I think children and even some adults need to be reminded of.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I remember that being told that story as a very young child. I mean, just little tiny. And I've always remembered it. And every time I see a woodpecker, I think, oh, we must always be generous. We must always be kind. And we must always be loving.
Yes.
I'm so grateful for you. I'm so thankful to you. I'm so grateful that you are safe and well. And I thank you for sharing these stories with us today. I'm just so thankful, really, that you shared.
And I'm thankful to be here. Thank you. I'm grateful to be here. It's always a good time. It really is. And this has been so much fun sharing these stories and hearing yours. It is, you know, may we have a fantastic storytelling season coming up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also want to take this moment and just let you know, I want to just say to you that we love you. We are so thankful for you. You're just such a blessing to our lives all of the time. And I don't want to wait for another natural disaster to say that to you, because you are so precious and important to us.
Thank you for saying that. And you know I feel the same about you. And I love you all, and I'm so grateful for your support and, you know, checking on us here throughout this natural disaster. It really means a lot. It really does. So I'm so grateful for you and all of you, and I love you all.
We love you. As we close today, I just want to remind you, we just heard a story about being generous and kind, and there are ways for you to help. You know, the Quala Boundary Reservation is my home, and we've heard what our beloved Dwayne has told us about his area, and we need your help. We do. And so there's two ways that I want to share with you right now that I've been given, and one is to contribute to the Disaster Relief Fund at nc.gov/donate, and another, if you are inclined to volunteer, is at ncvoad.org/volunteer/. And so please consider sharing with all the people impacted by this tremendous, tremendous weather crisis. Thank you to everyone who listens to us. Thank you for sharing this story season with us. We loved every minute of sharing with you. And we are so thankful for all our sponsors, our donors, our platforms, everyone who makes this conversation possible. I can't wait until we're all together again next time. I'll see you then.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.